You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
There lived in the kingdom of Naples a noble youth of Scotland named William of Elphinstone. He was a relation of King James of England. Born a heretic, a Protestant, he followed the false sect to which he belonged. But enlightened by divine grace, which showed him his errors, he went to France, where, with the assistance of a good Jesuit father, who was like himself a Scotchman, and still more by the intercession of the Blessed Virgin, he at length saw the truth, abjured his heresy, and became a Catholic. He went afterwards to Rome, where a friend of his found him one day, very much afflicted and weeping. He asked him the cause, and he answered that in the night his mother had appeared to him and said, "My son, it is well for thee that thou hast entered the true church. I am already lost because I died in heresy." And from that time he became more fervent in his devotion to Mary, and chose her for his mother, and by her was inspired to become a religious. He made a vow to do so, but being ill, he went to Naples to restore his health by a change of air. But the Lord ordered it so that he should die in Naples and die a religious. For having become dangerously ill soon after his arrival there, he by prayers and tears obtained from the superiors admittance, and when about receiving the viaticum, he made his vows in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, and was enrolled in the society. After this, in the tenderness of his feelings, he gave thanks to his mother, the Blessed Virgin, for having rescued him from heresy and brought him to die in the true church and in a religious house in the midst of his brethren. Therefore he exclaimed, "Oh, how glorious it is to die in the midst of so many angels." Being exhorted to take a little rest, he answered, "This is not the time to rest when the end of my life is drawing near." And so it was that before dying, he said to the persons present, "Brethren, do you not see the angels of heaven around me?" One of the religious, having heard him murmuring something to himself, asked him what he had said. And so he answered that his guardian angel had revealed to him that he should be in purgatory but a short time and would soon enter paradise. Then he began again to talk with his sweet mother, the Blessed Virgin, and repeating the word, "Mother, Mother," he tranquilly expired like a child falling asleep in the arms of its mother. And soon after, it was revealed to a devout religious of that religious order that he had already entered paradise. Can the faith of this young Scotsman be found in my parish and yours today? Good morning and welcome to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe. The last words on the lips of that dying religious was, "Mother, Mother." And so it is with that we would rightly call Mary, the Queen of Heaven, Mother. Her queenship is through her motherhood, the mother of the Word made flesh. And so it is that she has been given to us by the King of Kings to be our spiritual mother. And that's what we're going to be exploring today from the writings of St. Alphonsus Liguori, the book entitled The Glories of Mary. A queen, the greatest queen of all, of whom angels bend their knees to. And yet we, miserable creatures that we are, have the honor of calling the mother of the King of Kings our mother.
So many songs.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
As mentioned in previous sessions, the Queen of the House of David, the Queen of Israel, was not the wife of the king, but the mother of the king. The Gebira, the grand lady, the queen of the house of David, who, in an Old Testament sense, was not simply the mother of the king, but she was, through her office and in her relation to the king, was also considered the mother of the people of Israel. And all this was a foreshadowing of the truth, pointing the way to the true King of Kings and pointing to the true Queen of Queens, the Blessed Mother. And her queenship, in a sense, derives from her motherhood, her relation to the king, but also her relation to the children of God. In the writings of St. Alphonsus Liguori, he has this to say: Mary is our mother, not according to the flesh, but by love. Hence she becomes our mother only on account of the love she bears us, and she glories in being the mother of love, because having taken us for her children, she is all love towards us. Who can describe the love of Mary for us miserable creatures? At the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, she ardently desired to die with her Son for our sake, so that, as St. Ambrose says, when her Son hung dying on the cross, Mary offered herself to his murderers that she might give her life for us. Again, we tend to forget, and even our Protestant brothers and sisters especially tend to forget, that the flesh on the cross, the flesh of our Lord, was also Mary's flesh. Where did the flesh of our Lord come from? From his mother, Mary. His eyes, his hair, his features, his complexion, everything physically about him came from Mary. It was Mary's flesh which clothed the Word made flesh. And that sacred blood which was shed for us on that cross had no other source than that of Mary herself. And so it isn't any wonder to contemplate that as our Lord suffered on the cross, so too did the one who gave him and had clothed him with the flesh through which became our salvation. St. Alphonsus Liguori goes on to write, "But let us consider the reasons of this love, for thus we shall better understand how this good mother loves us. The first reason of the great love that Mary bears to men is the great love she bears to God. Love to God and man is contained in the same precept, as St. John has written, "This commandment we have from God, that he who loveth God love also his brother." So that, as St. Alphonsus goes on to write, so that one increases as the other increases. Hence, what have the saints not done for love of the neighbor? Because they have loved God so much. They have gone so far as to expose and lose liberty and even life for his salvation. Let us read what Saint Francis Xavier did in India, where for the sake of the souls of those individuals, he climbed mountains and exposed himself to innumerable dangers to find those wretched beings in the caverns where they dwelt like wild beasts, and to lead them to God. St. Francis de Sales, to convert the heretics of the province of Chablis, risked his life by crossing a river every day for a year on his hands and knees upon a frozen bean, that he might go to the other side to preach to those stubborn men. St. Paulinus became a slave to obtain liberty for the son of a poor widow. St. Fidelis, to bring the heretics of a certain place back to God, willingly consented in preaching to them and to lose his life. The saints then, because they have loved God so much, have done much for love of the neighbor. But who has loved God more than Mary? She loved God more in the first moment of her life than all the saints and angels have loved him in the whole course of theirs. As we shall consider at length when we speak of the virtues of Mary, she herself revealed to Sister Mary of the Crucifixion that the fire of love with which she burned for God was so great that it would in a moment inflame heaven and earth, and that in comparison to it, all the flames of the burning love of the seraphim were as a cool breeze. Extraordinary insight there by the ancient saints and fathers of the mystics of the church. That in comparison to the love of the Blessed Mother, the love of the seraphim who stand in the presence of God and reflect God's love back to him, the seraphim, these great angels whose name means the burning ones, because they are burning with the love of God, that in comparison to him, to the Blessed Mother, the love of the seraphim for God were but as a cool breeze. Extraordinary insight. He goes on to write, "Therefore, as there is none among the blessed spirits who loves God more than Mary, so there is and can be none except God who loves us more than this, our most loving mother." Whereby here, as St. Alphonsus writes, because there is no one except God who loves us, let me just rephrase that. That no one loves us more than God. And the second to God The only one who loves us more is the Blessed Mother. I'm going to read that again. Therefore, as there is none among the blessed spirits who loves God more than Mary, no one who loves God more than Mary, and as a consequence, no one loves us more than Mary. That it is a reflection of the love that God, Mary has for God, is in relationship to the love that Mary bears for us. He goes on to write that if the love of all mothers for their children, and of all husbands for their wives, and of all saints and angels for their devoted servants were united, it would be not so great as the love that Mary bears to one soul alone. Wow. And again, that is worth repeating. If the love of all mothers for their children, of all husbands for their wives, and of all saints and angels for their devoted servants were united, if you would put all that love together, it would not be so great as the love that Mary bears to one soul alone. He goes on to write that Father Nierenberg says that the love which all mothers have borne to their children is a shadow when compared with the love which Mary bears to any one of us. Truly, she alone loves us more, he adds, than all the angels and saints united. Moreover, our mother loves us much because we have been commended to her as children by her beloved Jesus, her son, when before expiring he said to her, "Woman, behold thy son," signifying by the person of John, all men, as we have before remarked, that these were the last words that her son, our Lord, said to her. The last remembrances left by beloved friends at the moment of their death are greatly valued, and the memory of them is never lost. Moreover, we, our children, extremely dear to Mary because we cost her so much suffering. Think of that. Our Blessed Mother was there at Calvary, looking upon her son, whom she had clothed with her flesh, and she saw with her own eyes and felt with her own senses and her spirit, and witnessed for herself the price of our salvation. And because it had cost her son so much, and hence herself as well, because the price for our salvation was so dear, we, the object of that sacrifice, as a consequence, are extremely dear to her. Whereby one can say that when she looks at us. She sees in us a reflection of the price that was paid for our salvation, whereby when she looks at us, one can say that she sees in and through us a reflection of her Son at Calvary on the cross. Moreover, we are children extremely dear to Mary because we cost her so much suffering. Those children are much dearer to a mother whose lives she has preserved. We are those children for whom that we may have the life of grace. Mary suffered the pain of sacrificing the dear life of her Lord Jesus, submitting for our sake to see him die before her eyes in cruel torments. By this great offering, he goes on to write, of Mary, we were then born to the life of divine grace. So then we are children very dear to her because we were redeemed at such a great cost of suffering. And so accordingly, as we read of the life of the love which the Eternal Father has manifested for men by giving his own Son to death for us, whereby God loved the world as to give his only begotten Son, as Saint Bonaventure remarks, it may be said of Mary also that she so loved us as to give her only begotten Son. And when did she give him to us? She gave him to us, says Father Nierenberger, when first she consented to his death. She gave him to us when others deserted him through hatred or through fear, and she alone could have defended before the judges the life of her Son. We can easily believe the words of so wise and tender a mother would have had a great power, at least with Pilate, to induce him to abstain from condemning to death a man whom he knew and declared innocent. But no, Mary would not utter even a word in favor of her Son to prevent his death, upon which our salvation depended. Finally, she gave him to us again at the foot of the cross in those 3 hours when she was witnessing his death, because then at every moment she was offering up for us his life with the deepest grief and the greatest love for us, at the cost of great trouble and suffering, and with such firmness that if executioners had been wanting, as St. Anselm and St. Antoninus tell us, she herself would have crucified him in obedience to the will of the Father, who had decreed that he should die for our salvation. Queen of Heaven is a mother. A mother to you and to me.
Salve.
You are listening to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zampanti.
It is extraordinary to reflect upon that as St. Alphonsus Liguori, in echoing the writings and sentiments of the ancient church fathers, the saints and mystics of the church, has reflected that had Mary wanted to, she could have stopped and prevented our Lord's crucifixion. That is how much power she had that was given to her. But if her son is humility incarnate, one can say that the Blessed Mother is a reflection of that humility. And in that humility, she bent her knee and her will to the will of the Father, where it was revealed to her that this was the price that the God the Father had deemed that would be paid for our salvation, that the price that would be paid to divine justice for our salvation. And again, as Saint Alphonsus here had written, Mary could have, but did not utter one word in favor of her son to prevent his death, upon which our salvation depended. And again, he goes on to say, finally, she gave him to us again at the foot of the cross in those hours when she was witnessing his death. Because then, he writes, at every moment, she was offering up for us his life with the deepest grief and the greatest love for us, at the cost of great trouble and suffering, and with such firmness that if executioners had not been there present, as Saint Anselm and Saint Antoninus tell us, she herself would have crucified her son in obedience to the will of the Father, who had decreed that he should die for our salvation. Wow. Extraordinary words to reflect upon and to meditate upon. He goes on to write, and if Abraham showed a similar fortitude in consenting to sacrifice his son with his own hands, we must believe that Mary would certainly have done the same with more resolution, as she was holier and more obedient than Abraham. But to return to our subject, how grateful should we be to Mary for an act of so much love, for the sacrifice she made of the life of her son in the midst of so much anguish to obtain salvation for all of us. The Lord indeed rewarded Abraham for the sacrifice he was prepared to make to him of his son Isaac. But what can we render to Mary for the life of her Jesus? As she has given us a son more noble and beloved than the son of Abraham. This love of Mary, says Saint Bonaventure, greatly obliges us to love her, seeing that she has loved us more than any other created being loves us, since she has given for us her only son, whom she loved more than herself. And from this follows another reason why we are so much beloved by Mary, the Blessed Mother. Because she knows that we have been purchased by the death of Jesus Christ. If a mother should see a servant redeemed by a beloved son of hers, by 20 years of imprisonment and suffering, for this reason alone, how much would she esteem that servant? Mary well knows that her son came upon earth solely to save us miserable sinners, as he himself declared, "I have come to save what was lost." And to save us, he has consented to lay down his life for us, becoming obedient unto death. If Mary then had little love for us, she would slightly value the blood of her son, which was the price of our salvation. It was revealed to Saint Elizabeth, the nun, that Mary, from the time that she was in the temple, was always praying that God would quickly send his son to save the world. Now, how much more certainly must we believe that she loves us after she has seen us so greatly prized by her son, that he deigned to purchase us at such a cost? And because all men have been redeemed by Jesus, Mary loves and favors all. She was seen by Saint John, clothed with the sun, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. She is said to be clothed with the sun because there is no one that can hide himself from his heat, so that there is no one living on the earth who is deprived of the love of Mary. So as no one can hide from the heat of the sun, in a sense, no living creature on earth is deprived of the love of Mary. He goes on to write, "From the heat of the sun, as it is explained by the Venerable Raymond Jordan, who through humility called himself the idiot, that is, from the love of Mary, and who says Saint Anthony can comprehend the care which this loving mother has for all of us, so says Saint Anthony. Therefore, to all she offers and dispenses her mercy, for our mother has desired the salvation of all and has cooperated with her son in the salvation of all." If Mary then is good to all, even to the ungrateful and negligent, if you think of it, there being many today, Catholic, non-Catholic. If Mary then is good to all, even to the ungrateful and negligent, who have but little love for her and seldom have recourse to her, how much more loving must she not be to those who love her and often invoke her? If you think of it, heaven has showered us with all these great devotions, devotions to the Sacred Heart, devotions to the Sacred Face of our Lord, all these devotions which have come to us over the years, and all these various sacramentals, holy medallions, holy water, blessed salts. It's like heaven is showering us with all these spiritual life jackets, life preservers, soul preservers, if you think of it, that Satan has, that heaven has showered us with all these life jackets, spiritual life jackets, in order for us to just reach out and grab a hold on, and so as to save our souls. That we are not alone, that heaven, our Lord, showers us with all these various aids with which to shepherd us through this valley of tears, to shepherd us back home. And yet, what do? By and large, we tend to neglect them, to turn away from them, to ignore them. And if you think of it, this is one of the world's greatest of gifts, other than his flesh and body in the Holy Eucharist, this greatest of gifts that God has given us is Mother, with which we all we have to do is call upon her for aid. And she will plead for our cause before her Son. Our Lord has given us not only his flesh and blood, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, but if that weren't enough, he's even given us his Mother. And all we have to do is call out to her, pray to her. There's so many various devotions out there that are related to the Blessed Mother. The Rosary. And what have we done these last number of decades, especially these last 50, 60 years? We've turned our backs, literally and physically and spiritually, to the Blessed Mother. The one who can help guide us and lead us to her Son. And what we've done is we've turned our back on the Queen of Heaven, the Queen of Queens, our Blessed Mother. Again, I'll read that. St. Alphonsus Liguori writes, "If Mary then is good to all, even to the ungrateful and negligent, who have but little love for her and seldom have recourse to her, how much more loving must she not be to those who love her and often invoke her?" She is easily seen by them that love her. "Oh, how easy it is," exclaims the same blessed Albertus, "for those who love Mary to find her and find her full of love and pity. I love them that love me," she assures us, and declares that she cannot but love those who love her. And although our most loving Lady loves all men as her children, yet, says Saint Bernard, she recognizes and loves especially those who most tenderly love her. Those happy lovers of Mary as the idiot asserts, are not only loved, but served by her. Can you imagine that? The Queen of Heaven not only loves you, but is willing to serve you, to help you in your journey of life and faith in this valley of tears, to spread her motherly mantle of protection over her children who call out to her. He goes on to write, Leonard the Dominican, as we read in the chronicles of his order, who was accustomed to recommend himself 200 times a day to this Mother of Mercy, when he was on his deathbed, saw one beautiful as a queen by his side, who said to him, Leonard, do you wish to die and come to my son and me? Who are you? Answered the religious. I am the Mother of Mercy, replied the Virgin. You have many times invoked me, and now I come to take you. Come, let us go to paradise. On that same day, Leonard the Dominican died. Can you imagine that? Queen of Heaven coming down herself to collect one of her faithful servants and lead him home. Ah, most sweet Mary, blessed is he who loves you. The Venerable Brother John Birchmans of the Society of Jesus used to say, if I love Mary, I am sure of perseverance, and I shall obtain from God whatsoever I wish. And this devout youth was never satisfied with renewing his intentions and often repeated to himself, I will love Mary. I will love Mary. Oh, how much this our good mother exceeds all her children in affection, even if they love her to the extent of their power. Mary is always more loving than her lovers, says Saint Ignatius the Martyr. Let us love her as much as Saint Stanislaw Kostka, who loved this his dear mother so tenderly that when he spoke of her, everyone who heard him desired to love her also. He invented new titles by which he honored her name. He never commenced an action without first turning to her image and asking her blessing. When he recited her office, her rosary, and her other prayers, he repeated them with such affectionate earnestness that he seemed speaking as if it were face to face with Mary. When he heard the Salve Regina sung, his soul and even his countenance of face was all on fire. When asked one day by a father of the society, as they were going together to visit an altar of the Blessed Virgin, how much he loved her, Father, he answered, what can I say more than she is my mother? And that father tells us how the holy youth spoke these words with such tender emotion of voice and countenance and heart that he appeared not a man, but as an angel, discoursing of the love of Mary. We have the privilege of the Queen of Heaven, of which we may call upon in our hour of need, of which we may call upon so as to plead for our cause before her Son. Someone who loves us even more, so much more than even our own physical mothers do. Pray to the Blessed Mother. Ask for her protection. Ask for her guidance. And ask that she pray for us so as to help grant us the graces to be able to lead us, miserable sinners, to her Son. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless.
Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zompanti, here on Radio Maria Canada.